Let's take our Bibles and open up to the epistle of 1 Peter.
1 Peter. We will be in the second chapter. Let's just go ahead and read a couple of verses, verses 9 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Father, we thank you for your word as we spend a few moments in it this evening. Father, we just pray that you would help us. Father, may your Holy Spirit have free reign in our hearts and in our minds. Father, that we might yield unto thee and hear what you have for us. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, we're continuing with our historic Baptist beliefs, our study in that. You take the word Baptist, and it makes an acrostic that tell us the historic, fundamental beliefs that Baptists have always stood for. The first, with the letter B, is biblical authority. Then the A is the autonomy of the local church. This evening, we're on number three. That would be the P in the word Baptist, and that's the priesthood of all believers. It's where the priests or the pastors are elevated above the normal people in the church. I don't know what better word to use other than normal, but the congregation. I remember growing up, we went to a congregational church, and the pastor's name was John Whitcomb. And we just called him Dr. John. And this guy probably stood about 6'4 or 6'5, and I was just a little kid, and I just remember how scared I was of him. Because I couldn't imagine a guy that big who had enough courage to wear a dress. Because he wore the long robe. And that just scared the liver out of me. And the reason why they wear the robes is to set themselves apart. And I go this direction, but it's really this direction, because they believe there's a difference, a separation between the clergy and the people in the pews. But that's just not scriptural. And Baptists have never stood for that. The Baptists have always stood for the priesthood of all believers, that we are all equal. Now, the pastor, according to the word of God, is to be an elder, and that's talking about a spiritual maturity. The Bible warns about having a novice as a pastor and the danger of that. And so the pastor does have to be someone who is walking with the Lord, and the qualifications that he gives us in his word makes that very clear. But that doesn't mean that the pastor is always the most spiritual person in the church. It's possible for all of us to reach that same level, where if we deny the priesthood of the believers and take the attitude of others, the clergy are at a level that you could never hope to achieve. And that's just not what the Bible has to say. And we see that here in verse number 9 of 1 Peter chapter 2. Not only are we a chosen generation, but what's that next one? A royal priesthood. And so we know that God has a calling for us. Now, what does a priest do? Now, I never was in a Jewish situation, but reading the Bible, you understand kind of what a priest would do, and he would serve God. And the verses that we read make it very clear that that's God's purpose for our lives, because he goes on to say, after calling us also a holy nation of peculiar people, and he tells us why. And that's in the second half, verse number 9, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He has a purpose for us. He has a purpose for every believer. And that's the concept behind the priesthood of all believers, that you can serve God just as effectively as I can serve God as your pastor. And so the idea that the pastor has to do it all is not a Baptist idea. It's been adopted from other denominations where the priests or the clergy do everything in the church. We know here, when we saw it under the autonomy of the local church, that we as a church make up our own decisions. We don't have any governing board. We don't have any hierarchy. We don't have any denominational headquarters that tells us what we can and can't do or what we do or don't believe. We make all those decisions here. And that all works because of the priesthood of believers, that we can serve God and we all have a purpose and a point for doing so. Back in 1 Timothy chapter 2, another verse that is relevant in the idea of the priesthood of all believers is verse number 5, a verse that I have to believe you're familiar with at least to some degree. 1 Timothy 2, 5 tells us, for there is one God and how many mediators? One. One mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now, if I have to go to a man in order to get my prayers heard in heaven, or if I have to go to a man to confess my sin, then what role is Jesus as our only mediator? Now, that's what the Word of God says. And so what God is telling us is that we all have access to God through the one mediator. We don't have to have a sub-mediator. We don't have to pray to anyone who's gone on before us, any saints, as some do, because we can go right into the throne room of God and have an audience with our King. And we can come boldly and all the time because of the priesthood of the believer. And so as we come before God and as we serve our Savior and as we make that light known that we're this royal priesthood, that we've been forgiven, that we've been cleansed, that we're sinners saved by grace, what should we do? How should we function as a priest? And so I want to spend some time, four different things that we should do as a result of being a priest before God. Well, the first is in Hebrews chapter 4. I kind of hinted at this and just a moment ago, Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16. This is one of my favorite, and again, you have to put that in qualification because just about every verse is a favorite verse, but this is one of the verses that I love a great deal, and I quote it a lot, or at least allude to it, Hebrews 4, 16. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, what a priest is one who represents God before man and man before God. And so part of our responsibility is going before the throne of grace and doing what we did just a few moments ago, praying for others and their needs and bringing it to God's attention, though He already knows, but pleading for God to work on their behalf. That's what the duty of a priest is, to take man's needs and present them to God. And so we have this verse telling us that we can come confidently, we can come boldly, and we can receive help in the time of need. What a wonder it is to me that I can come before the throne of God who created all things, who just simply had to speak and realize who He is and what He can do in my life and in your life. You see, there is nothing impossible with God. He says that several times in the Word of God, that with God, all things are possible. And so why do we hesitate and why do we become so lax when it comes to the time of prayer, when we have a need, whether it be small or little? We just try to handle it ourselves and we worry and we fret when God's solution is right there. Just act as a priest. Act who you are. Come before the throne of grace and present those needs, whether they're your own personal or intercessory prayer for others. Because God wants to hear, and God wants to answer, and He wants you to praise Him for those answers. Over in chapter 13 of the book of Hebrews, we see a second function of a priest. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 15. God tells us, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Now, if you remember the Old Testament priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, one of the primary functions of the priesthood was to take those animals and to slay them to burn what was to be burned on the altar, to dispose of the rest as God had given them directions and instructions. He was to take that blood and present it before God on behalf of the person offering the sacrifice. And so the sacrificial system was very much a part of a priest's duties. And here God is telling us part of our sacrifice, our sacrificial system in the New Testament, it doesn't have anything to do with animal sacrifice. It doesn't have anything to do with any blood other than the blood of Christ that was shed to make us this priest, to give us that new life, and to give us an audience with God. But the sacrifice here that God tells us in Hebrews chapter 13 is the sacrifice of praise. Now, this is the opposite of prayer, where prayer is representing man before God. Now, praise is representing God before man. I think a lot of the reason why our culture has gone so far away from God as it is Christians just don't speak out. When God does things in our lives, we just are tight-lipped about it. When I was in the workplace, and the first print shop I worked in, my dad worked there, and he got me a job there. But they warned me that they hire people off the street. And that was their way of telling me, because I had just graduated from Bible college. But that was their way of telling me that I was going to hear some language I didn't appreciate, and people were going to do things I didn't appreciate and tell me about it. But in that environment, I wasn't shy to say praise the Lord. Now, I told you about what you should do on Mondays if you're still working, what you should do on Monday morning or Sunday night if you work third shift. When people are talking about their weekend, you go up and say, just real enthusiastic, man, I had a great weekend. And they'll say, oh, what happened? Oh, we had a great day in church yesterday. And then tell them what the preacher preached about. If you don't remember, make something up. And whatever you do, just put the gospel in there. It's worth it. And you know, you get almost the same reaction when you praise the Lord for something. When something goes your way or something goes well in the workplace, to just say, well, praise the Lord. You know, they take his name the other way. Well, you take it the right way. We need to learn to praise God. We need to share the blessings with lost people that God has given to us, because we're a priest. The priesthood of all believers, we're representing God before man. You may remember it almost looked like a bumper sticker, but it was just cardboard, and you put it above the door of the church. And what it said is, you are now entering the mission field. That's a reality. When we leave the doors or go through the doors of this building, we are entering the mission field. You see, the missionaries aren't just across the sea. The missionary is the one in the seat that you're in right now. We're to be missionaries on God's behalf. He calls us ambassadors on his behalf to those that he brings in our lives. And I believe God gives us jobs so that we can influence the people that are in that job with us, our fellow employees. He puts us in neighborhoods in order that we might be an influence on our neighbors. You're his ambassador. You're the light in that dark world. Are you representing God well? You see, you should be, because you're a priest. The priesthood of all believers. It's not just the preacher's duty. It's not just the preacher's job. It is my job, but it's yours as well. And so as priests, we pray, representing man before God. As priests, we offer the sacrifice of praise, representing God before man. But there's another sacrifice that we need to make. Over in Romans chapter 12. You all know what it is already, don't you? Romans 12:1 speaks of a sacrifice that we're all to make as believers in Christ. And as believers, we're priests, a royal priesthood, he tells us in 1 Peter. Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so we're supposed to make ourselves a sacrifice. You see, a priest thought it was a great privilege to be able to serve God. They were thrilled to be able to do whatever it was that was their responsibility in the temple. And that's the attitude you and I ought to have, because we ought to place ourselves on that altar of sacrifice and say, God, here am I. I'll do whatever you want me to do, and I'll be happy about it. I won't groan, I won't mumble, I won't complain, but I'll have a Christ-honoring spirit the whole way through. You see, we've got too many Christians that are serving God because it's just their duty, or they're doing it because nobody else will do it, and they're not doing it because God called them to do it. God has given you skills, and He's given you abilities, He's given you spiritual gifts, and He expects you to use them for His benefit, for His glory, in His service, as His ambassadors, as a royal priest. And so we need to present ourselves. Verse number 2 goes right along with verse number 1. And this is the one that we'd like to cut out of the Bible, isn't it? At least a lot of Christians would. Be not conformed to this world. Wow. We can go to a lot of churches today. Those churches are doing their best to look like the world and to sound like the world and to talk like the world. And yet here it is in the Word of God, a commandment from God to be not conformed to the world. And this goes right along with offering ourselves as a living sacrifice. It's easy and it's tempting to become like the world. It's a path of least resistance. If you don't ever cuss and you don't ever get angry and you don't ever shout, people are going to think you're weird. They're going to think there's something wrong with you. You just let them know what's wrong with you. You're saved. You're blood bought by our Savior. You're redeemed. You're on your way to heaven. You're serving God. And they don't have any understanding of that. When we sacrifice ourselves before God and say, God, here am I. That's when it's possible to resist that conformity to the world. But we don't just leave the world behind. We're supposed to be heading somewhere. And that's what the next phrase is. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, how are you going to renew your mind? How are you going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind? You know, it doesn't come naturally. It takes work. It takes discipline. Now I haven't, I'm trying to remember. I don't remember. Maybe I did and I'm just not remembering. But I haven't said much about music since I've been here. Music is one of my hobby horses. You can ask the church there in Bucyrus. I think music is more important than probably any of us in this room realize. I think it has more of an impact on our Christian lives than we're willing to admit. It really does. God places music in a place of high importance. And so I preach on music fairly regularly, or at least it comes up somewhere. I did say something about music because I mentioned that church in Mansfield, Ohio, that you can listen to. You put your request in whatever secular rock song you want to hear. They'll work on it, and if they can play it, they'll play it in church during the service. But it didn't never cease to amaze me at the church in Bucyrus, because we always held the door and they'd drive through the drive-through and they'd let their wife off and we'd open the doors and let them in. Well, they don't turn their stereo off before they do that. And these people that want to present themselves to me as being so spiritual are listening to the world's music. Whatever happened to not being transformed or being conformed to this world? What about the way we dress? It's hard, especially for the ladies, to find good, godly, modest clothing. And the temptation is to just go ahead and look like the world. But what about this command here, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed? You see, if we're going to have our mind renewed, we've got to be aware of these things. So we've got to watch what's going into our mind so that we don't be conformed to the world and that we have our mind transformed. And of course, the way we really need to apply it in a positive sense is be in the Word of God. Be in prayer. Listen to good, godly music. Try to find some on the radio. I bet you can't. But if you want to listen to good, godly music, it's available. abidingradio.org. You can stream it on your phone. You can get it in your car. And you can listen to music that will glorify the Savior. So, our music we listen to is important. The preaching and Bible teaching we listen to is important in order that our mind can be transformed by the Holy Spirit of God so that we can prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I've been talking a lot about this already, but let's look at this as well. We're talking about functioning as priests. If we believe in the priesthood of all believers, that we all have equal access and standing before God, that we all have the same amount of potential spiritually before God, then how is that supposed to affect our lives? Well, we pray, we offer the sacrifice of praise, we present ourselves a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, and then we serve. And then we serve. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit. Now notice this, dividing to every man severally as he will. Every man. That's each one of us. Now he lists a number of spiritual gifts there. We know that according to the next chapter, that many of those have passed away when we had the completion of God's word. But nevertheless, what he does is he gives us a bunch of examples of different gifts to serve God with, the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. As a priest would serve in the temple and do all the tasks that were necessary for the functioning of the worship service there in Jerusalem, so you and I are tasked with the same responsibilities of doing all the things that are necessary to keep the Covenant Baptist Church functioning in a healthy fashion, to see that our worship services go according to God's plan, which brings Him the glory. And it's the Holy Spirit who decides what spiritual gift we have, and it's our responsibility to find out which one or ones, and I have to guess in a church our size that probably most of us, if not all of us, have more than one spiritual gift. Now, I believe those spiritual gifts change from time to time, especially when we change churches. I've changed churches a number of times in my life, and things I couldn't do in one church, all of a sudden I'm able to do in another church. How do I explain that other than the Holy Spirit of God? Because there was a need in the church that wasn't in the other one. You see, the Holy Spirit can evaluate our needs. He can evaluate who's here and who can do what, and He'll assign the gifts accordingly. What has He given you? I know I talk about this a lot. And the reason I talk about it a lot is because there's so much that can be done by way of ministry. But so little is actually done. Because we're so caught up in so many other things. And we don't realize what God has given to us. And one day we're going to have to stand and give an answer, aren't we? You see, the judgment seat of Christ is a reality. We will all stand before it. We'll have to all give an answer. What have we done with what He's invested in us? How have we handled the responsibilities He's put upon our shoulders? You see, this all falls under the category of the priesthood of all believers, that we can all serve God with the same potential. I'm no better than you are. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. The spiritual gift God has given me is that of being a pastor. And I'm just thrilled to have it. I don't deserve it, but He gave it to me anyway. In His will, I guess. What has He given you? You'll be thrilled when you find it and use that gift. We'll go ahead and close there. We'll pick it up with the two ordinances, the T, Lord willing, next week. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Father, we're so grateful for Your word and So grateful that we all have value, equal value in your sight. And Father, that you've invested in each one of us. What a privilege it is to be able to serve the God of heaven. Father, help us to function as priests in our community, that we might be a lighthouse, that others might see you living through us and be drawn to that light. Now, Father, bless us as we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.